Blog Talk Radio.
We'll be talking about this as well. Hello.
Hey. Hey.
How are you doing?
Hello.
Yes, can you hear
me? I can hear you.
Shahid, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, how are you today?
I'm doing real good. How about you?
I'm doing good.
It's pretty outside today, and it's wonderful. The weather's pretty, and I'm doing real good today.
Well, Shahid, you want to give a little bit about your background to the audience before you get into what we're going to be a bit talking about today?
What you say now? Do what now?
Do you want to give the audience a little bit of information about yourself?
Yeah, I do that right now. Yeah, my name is Shahid Omar, 70 years old, born and raised in a town called Roanoke, Virginia. I went to prison when I was 20 years old, 21, 22, something like that. Did a couple of years, came back out, messed around again, and went back to prison in 74, got out in 75. In 77, started going to school. At the same time, I'm working for an agency called TAP, T-A-P, which stands for Total Action Against Poverty. Started working for them in 76, 77, something like that. Started going to school full time also in the field of criminal justice. Graduated with a master's degree in 85, in master's degree in criminal justice. And since then, I've been working in the field and just working with inmates and ex-offenders. My expertise is in reentry. They call it reentry. Used to be called reintegration and transition, but now they got a new word called reentry. So I'm an expert in that field. But I also work with inmates dealing with violence, from staff towards inmates, especially at the prisons called Supermax prisons. Two women in Virginia. One is called Red Onion, other one is called Wallace Ridge. At this time, they have taken Wallace Ridge and reduced it to a status 5 instead of a status 6. The status 6 is Supermax. But the culture there is still the same. It's still Supermax, even though they don't call it Supermax on paper, but it's the same thing. So I work with prisons. They send me letters about the abuse that they are experiencing. And I take the letters, make a copy of it, send it to the governor, send it to the director of the correction system, sometimes the federal government, and then send a copy to the state government here and try to get them some help. Unfortunately, things are rough because people don't listen to prisoners. And the reason why people don't listen to prisoners is because by the time the prisoner gets to court, you end up taking a settlement. And when they take a settlement, that means that they can't discuss their case. And when they can't discuss their case, the public doesn't know anything about what happens to them. And that's a problem, real problem. So what we're trying to do here in Roanoke is get inmates to stop taking settlements. And I understand how it is, because $3,000, $4,000 to a broke man, especially in prison, is a whole lot of money. But what you don't understand is that they're going to give you that money. They're going to send you right back to the prison that you come from or that you complain about. They're going to send you right back to the same part. They're going to send you right back to the same cell. And the same officers are going to be there to abuse you again and talk stuff to you and tell you. See what happened in court? You took a settlement,
you know,
boy.
I have to agree with you on that. I have to agree with you on that, Shahid, because that's what's happening right now with someone I know, someone very dear to me.
Mm-hmm.
Had to fight his way and they did everything they could to prevent him from going through with that lawsuit, right down to putting mm-hmm. him in the hole, filing mm-hmm. a motion to have the case dismissed, and then letting him out, mm-hmm. out of the hole after it happened. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. he was going to appeal that when the coronavirus started, and so ever since then, they've been keeping them in the cell 23 hours a day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, in this particular prison here called Supermax, that is the nature of the time that you serve is 23 hours a day in a cell. That's the nature of it, 23 hours a day in a cell. And every time you come out of that cell, you are shackled. You are shackled from your feet to your arms, to your wrist, to your wrist. So you can't do nothing but walk like an animal. And so that's 23 hours a day. And the officers who don't want to work will make excuses not to give you a shower, not to feed you your food, not to let you out for recreation. They will make excuses not to do those kind of things, because when they have to do those kind of things, they got to go work. They have to work. They have to make sure that you're shackled down, coming out your cell, have to walk you to the recreation place, walk you to the shower. They got to work. And instead of doing work, they want to sit in the booth and watch you. They don't want to help you. They don't want to do no work. So they'll make excuses not to do that kind of work. And they'll put on the paper that they did it. Or they'll put on the paper that you denied or that you wanted. And that's the way it is. I mean, unless you get in court and fight your case and win your case, you're in trouble in Supermax prisons. And that's what we're up against. And I was telling the guy yesterday, Leona, I was telling him that this country hasn't seen nothing yet. When this country get access to the videos, where inmates are being beat up at, when this country get access to those and start seeing the way prisons are beat, man, it's going to be an uproar in this country like we never seen. What we're seeing with the police department, you know, that's one thing. And I saw something happen on TV yesterday, and I hope the audience who listened saw the same thing. I saw it on CNN in New York City. 7 police officers had this man on the ground, this black man on the ground, and it was snowing outside.
I saw
it. It was wet outside. It was raining. It was raining. Yeah. What's his name?
You I don't remember the name, but I saw it. I think everybody
okay.
saw it.
Yeah. And when I saw that, Leona, I started hollering and crying. I could not believe what I was seeing. I could not believe it. 7 police officers watching this man on the ground. It stuck a white smock on his head. So he couldn't breathe. They weren't trying for him not to breathe, but they didn't know that he was not going to be able to breathe, you know, under condition that he was in. And he ended up dying. When I saw that, I could not believe what I was looking at. And for a minute, I had to cry. And I mean, I had to holler and scream and cry. It was just unbelievable to see 7 men. And all they had to do was one man grab one leg, one man grab another leg, one man grab one arm, one grab another arm, one man grab his shoulder, and put him in the patrol car and take him to the hospital. That's all they had to do. Or take him to jail. Don't put that smock on his head. That's all they had to do. And they could have did that without any force. They could have did that without it causing any pain. They could have did that in a human kind of way to help that man. But instead, they let that man die. They're going to pay for that, too.
You know what I find very difficult is that the people in this country, mainly the whites, see this happening on a daily basis. Some of them are advocates. Some of them are just people on the street. It's getting to the point now white people are attacking blacks and browns while they're driving in their cars because they know they can get away with it. What these
That's
people
right.
don't realize in this ungodly country is that this country is going to be like a third world country by the time it gets through, because what's going to happen eventually is there's going to be a civil war in this country. And all these people want racism. They want to attack the blacks and browns, the beige, the red. It's going to backfire on them. So, and their kids are growing up too. Their kids are going to going through hell because of them.
That's right. That's right. That you're exactly right. They're going to go through hell because of that. Yep, that's exactly right. You know, so we had a march yesterday, a demonstration yesterday in front of the federal courthouse, and we had three people to show up, help us demonstrate. It turned out to be real good. You know, I was surprised that we had some help, and I enjoyed it. Had our posters out there and walking them down the sidewalk in front of the federal courthouse building, and I lost my doctor on the telephone yesterday. I'm thinking that one of them came out and got it after we left. But, you know, I had to get another phone. But I really missed my phone. I hope somebody turned it in. I got some stuff on there that I can use. But the march, the demonstration turned out good. We're going to be there every Friday until we decide on another day. We'll be there every Friday at 1 o'clock. If anybody want to come out and help us, be fine.
Can you let them know, Shahid, exactly where this place is for some that might want to be coming from other places? And also, we have someone on the air with us now. She is from Virginia, and I believe it's her. Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yes. What is your name?
This is Chinupa over here.
Chinupa, okay, we have Shahid Omar on the phone with us today, and he was talking about a demonstration he's going to be putting on every Friday. Shahid, you want to talk about it and then let the audience and everyone know where they can get in contact with you to participate in this demonstration?
Yeah, this is in Roanoke, Virginia. My telephone number is 540-309-2473. And so we'll be doing this. It's at 210 Franklin Road. In Roanoke, 210 Franklin Road. It's a big building. It's called a Poff Building, P-O-F-F. Poff Building, that's what the name of the building is, and it's a federal courthouse. Federal courthouse for all federal charges. And the reason why we are there is because inmates who are in the state prisons here, when they file suits, they file a suit with the federal government. And it is in that courthouse and another courthouse in another part of Virginia. That they hear their cases at. So we're there to let the judges know that they're not doing what they're supposed to do. The judges are supposed to be the oversight for the state inmates, and they're not helping. I'm reading cases where they're just not helping the inmates. I mean, they're just not. Inmate doesn't have a lawyer. He goes in the courtroom to try his case, and some inmates, and I'm finding out that some inmates are taking judge trials instead of jury trials, thinking the judge is going to help them. And the judge is not there to help them. The judge is really there to help them. What they're showing is that they're there to help the correction officers. They're siding with the correction officers. Automatically, before you even hear the case, the magistrate judge is siding with the correction officers. And so we're there to protest. We're there to let them know that it's not right. Supposed to be objective instead of subjective. Supposed to be objective. Help these inmates that are being beat up. And so that's where we at. And my telephone number again is 540-309-2473. When you get in touch with me, I can tell you everything you need to know.
These judges, I have a thing about judges, because judges were initially created, established to be fair, to be the mediator. Instead, these judges coming on, a lot of them are racist, a lot of them are for the prosecutors, and they don't give these prisoners an opportunity to even present all of their evidence, which has happened too, mostly in these maximum secure prisons. But these judges are no different than the commissioner of the Department of Correction or anyone else. They're the problem. They're the problem. Chinupa, you got something here today. You were talking. Chinupa's from the Dakota, and he is a Sioux Indian, And he's been going, he's gone through some of the things that you've gone through, Shahid. So you want to talk about it, Shanupa?
You know, it's good to hear the two of you address some of the circumstances that are arising in what we call Turtle Island. The mainstream calls it the United States of America. I disagree with that concept. I never have and I never will. But what I really wanted to contribute to the brother that's on the air with you describing the injustice of the inmates being, you know, brutally tortured and abused inside the state and federal institutions. Remember, back in 1963, okay, when a lot of the heinous presidents left office through Nixon, Lyndon Johnson, and all them, they took on a challenge from Hitler's essay and some of his retroids, where he was telling them how to contain people of color. And the first thing was to turn the light-skinned people of color against one another. And so to this day, when you have them employed for correctional departments, police departments, and so forth, our brothers and sisters that are working for the system and for the man are using that barbaric mentality, according to what Hitler did when he contained the Jews and the gypsies and all them people. But Catch-22 became more of a prevalent issue when Mr. JFK, John F. Kennedy, got in power, because keep in mind, he turned that complex completely around. And remember this correctly. Judges, prosecuting attorneys, and even wardens of these institutions were tried and convicted. That's how they opened up a lot of stuff, like, you know, just recently, you know, Bush had Guantanamo Bay and others that detained a lot of so-called rebels from different countries, Muslims and so forth. But originally, like McNeil Island was one of the ones where they housed federal judges and prosecutors. This is recorded. So when we reflect back to that, just like my grandfather once told me that America one day was going to show its true color of being a communist regime, while he was right, here we are in 2020 seeing how they're turning the Native people against the blacks, the Latino people against the blacks and Natives, and so forth. And the white dominant culture are pushed in the corner, not being subjugated to anything through white supremacy. And this is how the rich do it. And they do this constantly because it's the same type of slave master's mentality. That's how you contain people. But Catch-22 will play a good part in this, because if all of us collectively can put the energy on getting other countries that oppose American bureaucratic, you know, racial endeavors and charge them for genocide and propitiate fundamental practices, then and only then can the world court step in and sanction America. Now keep in mind, Russia did that. Russia did that. And when the Russians were receiving, you know, invitations from the American congressional officials, there was like 13 or 14 of them that went to the Soviet Union. And they wanted to meet with Putin and them. What did Putin and them do? Shut the door and told them no. Get out of my country. I don't want your filth. And they too are facing that type of dilemma. But remember, Russia was a communist country at one time, but it fell because of the involvement of the people. It wasn't just the Soviet people, but it was the Samis and a lot of the Mongols and people that lived there in that area. Because I know many years ago I went to Dagestan and I seen people. I was invited guest over there. And so when I went to the country of it, I seen what they were doing. And these were people that were still living nomadically. And that's what we need to always remember. We were a nomadic people. Same with my African people here in my country of Turtle Island. They were a nomadic people. They lived off the earth. They were connected to the trees, the wildlife, everything that nature provided us. We were connected. And now we're losing that concept because everything's done on white man's paper. No offense to the listening audience, but that's how the white man makes me feel. And when you're having these protests on a weekly, keep in mind on September 11th and the 12th in Lincoln, Nebraska, they're having a human rights demonstration about the same thing, about the brutality of the penal complexes within the state of Nebraska, how they're abusing our African brothers and sisters and the Native brothers and sisters in these establishments that are not giving them the proper, you know, wherewithal to receive early parole releases and get them jobs. You know, this is how the rich stay focused, because that's how they do it. They've been doing it since they corporations took over the White House, and ever since the White House been taken over from the corporations, man, we've been in despair every day. More blacks, more natives, more Asians, more Hispanic brothers and sisters are getting killed on a daily basis, but you don't hear a damn thing about white men. And that's the mortal enemy that we need to focus on that. So I will it back to you, sister.
We have another caller on the line. You want to state your name? Hello?
Frances Ross, how are you today?
Good. How are you, Frances?
I'm doing well. I was calling in to, and I'm sorry that I got in here late, is that, you know, there's a lot of injustices that are happening in the state of Virginia, and I guess I was kind of hoping that this talk might be getting me some more information on how I can help the people who are doing these injustices behind our prison walls and our senators and delegates who don't want to listen to us, the people.
We have on today Shahid Omar from Virginia, and he's been putting on a demonstration. I don't know if you heard, but Shahid, you want to speak briefly about that again?
Yeah, well, my name again is Shahid Omar, and I'm in the process of getting an organization together called All Inmates Lives Matter, Inc. All Inmates Lives Matter, Inc. My number is 540-309-2473. Since 2004, I have been working to get inmates behind closed doors, particularly Red Onion, Watkins Ridge, River North, Sussex One. Those are prison names, prison facilities names. I've been working with those facilities, inmates in those facilities, to get some justice brought to their case. If you're interested in providing some help, you can call me, 540-309-2473.
Okay, I actually did. Nice to meet you. I actually sent you a message on Facebook last night. And I would definitely be wanting to team up with you. And I think that these kind of talks are so important to educate the general public, because unfortunately for myself, I didn't know that these injustices and these unfair treatments and inhumane conditions even existed until myself found myself with a loved one behind the wall. And I think that, you know, it's just sad that the lack of knowledge that people have.
Well, that's the way that you found out, the way that you're finding out is the same way that most people find out. Most people don't hear anything about prison situation until they have a loved one or relative that is locked up. And then the relative writes them and tell them what's going on. That's the way. That's what happens. That's the natural process. Other than that, we don't know, because the news media, when they report on what's happening behind prison walls, usually it's not a good report. It's usually about an inmate jumping on an officer. But once you get a relative that's locked up, he'll tell you, or she'll tell you, what's going on, and that's how people get involved. That's most people who you see come on the radio or start organizations or get involved with legislation or get involved with anything. That's how they get involved, because some kin to them got locked up. My son was doing 18 years. He's been out 3 years now, but he was doing 18 years, you know. And that's how I got involved in these particular prisons. I was involved in prison situations before he was born. But the way I got involved into dealing with Red Onion and Watkins Ridge was because he was at Red Onion, he was at Watkins Ridge, and he called me, you know, wrote me and told me about conditions there and asked me could I help him. And so I began to get involved that way. So that's how you get involved. So we're here, and I'm not the only one. There are several organizations in Virginia that are doing things for prisoners. You can go online, and all you got to do is Google Virginia and Google organizations that are working with prisoners, and you'll find a couple organizations in Virginia that are working with prisoners to provide certain situations, not certain situations, but certain avenues of help for them. And so you can get involved. It's a whole lot of work to be done, so don't worry about that. You can get involved.
Interpret myself. I am definitely involved. I'm an admin in a few different prison reform groups. I've been doing it for almost 2 years now, more active as it goes. What I find to me is frustrating is that we kind of tend to be all kind of set up differently in different groups, and it's hard to get everybody, all of the people, together to support these bills, or you get a delegate who puts in a bill that's amazing, and by the time it gets to the House floor, it's been chopped to pieces, and it's not what we were originally supporting. And we the people want this, and I think that we the people sometimes forget we're the ones who put those people in power, and they're not more powerful than us, and we need to step together to, to make this change happen.
Yeah, well, I can tell you this. You're not going to ever get all the organizations together because different organizations got different agendas, got different goals, different objectives. But there is one organization in Virginia that's ran by a lady named Kennedy. Her last name is Kennedy. And I forget the name of her organization, God forgive me. But she's located in Richmond. And right outside of Richmond, and she deals with legislation. That's what she deals with, and that's one of the things she deals with. And so you can Google her name. Her last name is Kennedy.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, she deals with legislation. So if you're interested in the law and getting to the General Assembly, that's who you need to be working with.
What I'd like to mention too is the one of the things that Frances had mentioned earlier was that she was looking at some kind of bill regarding good time credit in the prisons. I don't know about Virginia, but I know in Massachusetts, there's a lot of prisoners that are being deprived of being able to do anything productive. And I was telling Frances this. What they do is when someone wants to take some higher educational correspondence courses, they deprive them of that. They deny them. When they get a job, like one got a job in a culinary department, two officials went over the instructor's head to have that person fired after only a couple of weeks when the instructor wouldn't do it because it was the young man was doing nothing wrong. A lot of these people are targeted, and because of that, they're not able to put in any time. They're not able to do anything. They write grievances, and eventually the DOC officials ignore these grievances completely. They don't have lawyers to help them, pro bono or otherwise, and so they're on their own when this happens. One inmate actually wrote to a senator in Massachusetts telling the senator about it. Now, I'm waiting to see if this senator is going to advocate on behalf of this inmate, but this is the thing that happens in a lot of these prisons. When these people are unable to do anything productive to get that good credit time because they're being denied or deprived, prevented, and this is another major issue. As you were saying earlier, Shahid, when these people on their own try to file a lawsuit, go to court, they're up against not only the DOC officials, but they're up against corrupt judges that are going to side with the opposite. They're going to side with the DOC officials. These prisoners don't stand.
In Virginia, we don't really have a problem with inmates getting credit for their time. We don't really have that kind of problem. One of the things that I'm working on trying to bring back parole. In Virginia, parole was abolished in 1995. And now we have a Democratic governor, Governor Ralph Norton, who also has a PhD, and he has an office of political people who are all Democrats. Used to be Republicans, and now it's turned over to Democrats. So we have some power in Virginia now, and he has been talking about bringing back parole. But he's talking about it in a very, very slow manner. I believe we have enough power now in the state legislature to bring back parole. And so that's what I'm working on right now. So if anybody want to help me do that, you can call me, 540-309-2473. I want to bring back parole for the state of Virginia to help these inmates get out of prison.
The sad thing is, parole is an issue in other states too. You mentioned everybody when Francis mentioned all these different groups. You mentioned they're all focused on something different. This is a major problem in this country, because what they need to do is everyone throughout the country needs to come together and battle that one thing at a time, because numbers means a lot. Address the parole issue. Everybody across the country that's advocating. Once that's resolved, address the good time credit, or address the injustices in the prisons, the abuses. They need to come together on one issue at a time instead of all these different groups all over the country focusing on something different. That's the big problem.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's a good idea, but it ain't gonna happen. And I don't look for it to happen. Organizations based on whatever their agenda is, that's what they're going to work on. And so you can get some support when you put an issue out there. You might get some support for it. But to just think that organizations, everybody's going to focus on one issue at one time, it ain't happening.
You know, the thing is, they don't even have to go out. They don't have to be in the demonstrations. They can do it from their home. They can have Zoom meetings, contact these senators, these state representatives throughout the country. One day of constant calls. They talk about doing a day where nobody buys anything from any store at all.
Mm-hmm.
Pick one day when everybody in the country just bombards by phone calls, the senators, the media, whoever they have to contact, but do it all at one time, the same day, and you watch, there'll be something going on.
Yeah,
well,
good idea.
I want to, on that note, I'm not saying that you guys weren't aware of this, but it actually is a one day. So it's always going to be the third Saturday of August. This year that just passed was our first year that we did it, and it was called National Freedom Day, and it was celebrated. There's a website on it. You can look it up. It was all over the world, not just the United States. There were Zoom calls. So there was people all over the country and all over the world at 4 p.m. ringing bells at different locations to bring awareness to this. But the problem that I've recently seen is that, you know, the director, you know, Harold Clark of the Department of Corrections, when you have a summit and a meeting with him, he says exactly what you want to hear, but there's nobody to hold him accountable. When you call a senator or a delegate and they tell you on a town hall meeting that, hey, I am going to put in this bill and it's going to be for everyone, and I believe that everybody deserves a chance, and then that senator gets up there on that floor under a little bit of pressure and cracks, that is unfortunate. And we need to hold these people accountable for what they say they're going to do what they're going to do, and to call them out when they don't do it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's the problem. Everybody needs to come together, focus on one issue at a time. But Harold Clark was the commissioner in Massachusetts at one time. I did meet with him, not knowing that he was going to be transferring out to Virginia. So it was a wasted visit, really, and a wasted meeting with him at the time. So, Shaheed, what is it exactly? You mentioned you're having this demonstration every Friday?
Every Friday, 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm.
Every Friday at 1 o'clock. And, Francis, you mentioned something is that just in August?
You talking to me?
Actually, Janet Lee, is that what you're talking about, Francis, the National Day of Freedom and Justice?
Well, she is. We were told that was on August 22nd.
Oh, so
you had her on your show talking about the same thing.
Yeah, I thought this just mentioned another. I thought it was. No, she's on with us, but I can't hear her. So there's something wrong with either her.
I didn't know. It was me. I'm sorry. I was muted. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. So. They're doing the National Day of Freedom is only going to be every single year in August on the third Saturday. And I'm saying this out loud for everybody to mark your calendar so you don't have to say I have to get a pedicure. You know now that it's definitely going to be across the country on the third Saturday in every August. I know that's a while out from now, but I just wanted to throw that out. And they're doing other small events in between. Like, for instance, they're having, we are hosting a rally in Craigsville, Virginia, next Saturday at 3:00 at the Recreation Center to get some justice for Christopher Bennett, who he's got a petition going around. He was sentenced to 1,800 years. That is crazy. That is insane.
You know, that's the sentencing.
And he's a hero.
The sentencing that they give out, I don't know if they're on drugs or they're senile or what, but when somebody has that much hatred in them to give anybody 3 life sentences, 4 life sentences, you know, even 2 life sentences, giving them 1,800 years, I mean, what kind of mentality is that? That's very childish. To me, this country is a racist, ignorant, uneducated country. Everybody sits behind their seats. Everybody sits behind the desk. They have it made, and they do a lot of talking but no action. I'd love to see any of these politicians go follow through with their word. They see all this injustice, and they get behind these signs. They hold these signs up to make themselves look good to the public. But nobody wants to see them holding signs. They want to see them doing some action on behalf of all these people that are being abused, deprived, provoked, harassed, tormented, tortured, medically neglected, psychologically, even spiritually neglected. Since this coronavirus, there have been people in the supermax, even at Sousa Baranowski Correctional Center, let out a half an hour in 2 days, one half hour, let out and being in their cells for 22, 23 hours a day. When is it going to stop? This coronavirus might go on forever. What are the politicians doing about their sanity? Because a lot of these prisoners aren't even allowed to have television. They have nothing to occupy their minds. They're getting anxious now. They're getting upset now. When they start acting out, then everybody's going to look at them as being the problem. They're not the problem. The problem is the system in this country, not just in the state, but in this country. Every other country is functioning. Every other country is letting their prisoners out. Every other country is putting their prisoners in housing that is not steel bars and steel cages. Every other country is offering them all kinds of higher educational courses. They're letting their prisoners out no later than 25 years max. And here we have in the United States giving out 1,800 years, 4 life sentences, 3 life sentences. What kind of background are these people coming from?
Hey, Leona. Leona?
Uh-huh.
The latest name in Virginia that is doing the advocacy legislation dealing with the General Assembly, her name is Lily Branch Kennedy. So you can get her number, get her information off the internet. Her name is Lily Branch Kennedy. And she also,
Lily Branch?
Lily Branch Kennedy. I didn't hear you.
Okay, Lily Branch Kennedy is the executive director of the Virginia-based Resource Information Help for the Disadvantaged and Disenfranchised.
Exactly, that's her. Mm-hmm. And you can and you can hook up with her. She does a whole lot of things. She's been in operation for many years, and she also provides transportation to prisons like Red Onion, Watkins Ridge. She provides transportation to those prisons. And she does a whole lot of things. So she's an advocate for prison reform since 2002.
She's an amazing woman. I've had the pleasure to meet her at the General Assembly last year.
Good. Okay. Her son was charged with accessory to robbery and sentenced to 28 years in prison. That's how she got involved, like the rest of us, you know, got involved because somebody and some kin to us did something. So she's been involved. So hell of a lady and doing some hell of a work.
Amen.
Her phone number is 804-426-4426. And her email address is rihd23075@aol.com.
That's it.
You know, that's we need people like that, and especially when they have those credentials. We need people like that to get involved. And unfortunately, you know, I have a friend on Cape Cod. She was a probation officer for years when I was doing social work for the Department of Social Services. And her son got in trouble. He was in Florida. He got in trouble. So she was taking the time off to go down to Florida to help. And her supervisor got upset with her because she was leaving. And she told her supervisor, I might be a probation officer, but I am a mother first. And what we have in this country is people that do not understand the closeness of their loved ones. And that's what's so sad, because while others, like a lot of these whites, Caucasians, throughout the years ago, rather than put all their attention into showing their child's love, they were showing their child how to hate. My child always knew love, and unfortunately, his first and only ever mistake in his last year of college was to meet someone at a club he was working at for the summer. And that person ruined his life, and ever since then, the retaliation has been going on because of who he shot. One shot during a time of severe depression, and it was all brought up in court. Never involved with the law, never involved with drugs or alcohol, never involved in anything. Working since the age of 13, putting himself through prep school in Maine and 4 years of college before he had to meet one person that's going to destroy his life, destroy my life. And this is what we need in our country. We need people that understand, people that know there's a couple of sides to every story, sometimes three sides to every story. And unfortunately, we live in a biased country, a hateful country, a racist country, a vengeful country. People think that their kids will never get in that situation. Well, we see it happening in some situations with governors and with politicians when their own loved one gets in trouble, but somehow it mysteriously disappears. There was a lawyer on Cape Cod. His daughter stabbed her husband, I don't know how many times, and killed him. They had her go into get a evaluation. That was the end of it. You never heard anything more about it. You don't see it on the internet. Her father moved from Cape Cod to New York. He's practicing out of New York. That person got away with murder, and they talk about somebody that's severely depressed that's going to fire one shot 27 years ago and to this day is still suffering from it. That's the difference between people who have some power and people that don't.
Leona, I'd like to mention also something about an inmate. His name is Kevin Rashid Johnson. And he's probably the most abused inmate in the state of Virginia and maybe across the country. His name is Kevin Rashid Johnson. He's an author. He's an artist. And he's head of the new African Black Panther Party in prison. Anybody that's concerned about anything happening in Virginia in the prison system need to Google his name and read his writings. His name again is Kevin, Kevin Rashid, Rashid Johnson, and you can like I said, Google his name, and he'll come up, and you will see him. And he got a lot of writings, a lot of articles, and he wrote a book too. called Defying the Tone. So you can read his writings. And if you want to know anything about Virginia prisons, and not only Virginia prisons, but a few other prisons, prisons in the country that he's been shipped to and moved around from Virginia over the last 10 years. He's written about a lot of prisons, different prisons in different states.
He was born in Chicago.
Write
born in Chicago in 1977.
I'm sorry, I couldn't say
now,
it again.
This is what I'm talking about, an American artist. People who have actually, and this is what Francis was talking about with credit, good credit time. This is a person that's all over the internet of the good work he does, American artist. It shows his everything he's done, and he's still in prison?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not sure how much time he's doing. I'm pretty sure he's doing a life sentence. That's what I believe. He's committed a couple of murders. So he won't be getting out of prison, to my knowledge.
He's doing a lot of work.
And so you can read his writings, and you'll find out about what his personal life is. Matter of fact, he has an autobiography out. It's a short autobiography in his book. He's very well written. It's another guy too that I want to bring up his name when I find it. Kevin Rashid Johnson, you need to read about him, read his writings. And he's an artist, too. He writes. I mean, he's an artist. He draws. You will not believe his artistic ability. You just won't believe it. I mean, you got to see it. You just won't believe it. Unbelievable.
A lot of them don't find their talents or their skills until they get into prison. And unfortunately, that's when they realize how gifted they are. And sometimes it's too late because of the sentences they get. But this is amazing. It's like he's gotten all kinds of awards too. It's like Tukey Williams. Now that was a shameless execution, because with Tukey Williams, he could have been an asset out in the street. He could have been an asset to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I'm finding this guy's name. I want you to. Google his name too. Google his name also.
So, Francis, do you want to connect with
us? His name is Kennedy.
What is it?
His name is Kennedy. C-A-N-A-D-A. Kennedy. Kennedy. That's his name. His last name is Kennedy. I'm going to find his first name for you in a minute. But you can't miss him. If you Google his name, you can't miss him. The last name is Kennedy. He's in Virginia prisons. Last name is Kennedy. He's just like Kevin Rashid Johnson. He writes very well, very political, done a whole lot of work in the system, a whole lot of work. Last name is Kennedy.
Okay. You said Canada?
Kennedy. Well, it's Canada. It's Canada. Canada. That's how you pronounce it. Mm-hmm.
But how do you spell?
I'm gonna find his first name down here somewhere in a minute.
So, Francis, you want to talk a little bit more about yourself?
I have been diligently trying to. Follow the way the system is not working, and I've been trying hard to gather enough people to show support for the people behind our prison walls. I also agree, and I definitely will be connecting with more people as far as bringing parole back for everyone. It has been sent to the Crime Commission, and it will definitely be brought up the next General Assembly, which is in January, and that's fine. But again, we need to hold them accountable, to hold everybody accountable to actually release these people. I mean, having parole yeah, sure, that's great. Let's have parole. But if we're not going to release them, the parole board last month released 26 people. So if we're not going to be releasing them, it kind of defeats the purpose of having it. And that's why I was pushing for the earned, and I still am pushing, for the earned sentence credit for everyone behind our prison walls who currently already earn good time. You're not giving them anything. It's something that they have to earn. They have to do the right things. There is a clause in there because they do tend to, the classes go to the people who have sooner release dates. So as far as taking classes like that, there is a clause in the bill that if the class isn't available, it can't be held against them. However, we do, let's be honest, let's talk about it from both sides. There are people that are in our prison walls that are still breaking the law. And those people don't deserve to get out sooner, to come home to their families, to be a son, a mother, a brother, a sister, you know, whatever the case is, a father, a mother, you know, to their children. The people who are still behind our walls, who are still breaking the law behind the walls, are not the people that we, the people, want to get out sooner. It's the ones who got caught up, made a bad choice, was with the wrong person, who made a bad choice to break the law and now realize, you know, whatever the reason was, you know, that they don't want that kind of life and that they're doing everything behind there to follow the rules, to do the right thing. Let's not forget that people behind there, some of them are working 50 and 60 hours a week and getting paid pennies an hour for the work that they're doing. They're doing it. They should get a reward for that.
Okay. Leona, I found the guy's name. His name is Kevin, K-E-L-V-I-N, Kasi. His nickname is Kasi, K-H-A-Y-S-S-I, Kasi, Kasi. Last name is Canada, C-A-N-A-D-A, Kevin Kasi.
Yeah.
Canada. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's his name. Google his name on the internet. And Virginia prisons, and you will see he does a lot of writing, a whole lot of writing, writes very well, very political, writes very well. And so anything dealing with anything, any issues dealing with Virginia prisons, you can find his name somewhere.
But you know what, because Francis, you were mentioning these repeat offenders. One of the things I learned about that is they don't need to be in prison. What they need to be in is a long-term residential treatment program. A lot of these people that are repeat offenders, the ones that need to be in prison for a long time are serial killers, are terrorists. These people that are in repeat offenders, they need to be given the opportunity to be in a long-term treatment program where they can't leave. They have to get that treatment. Because a lot of them are so screwed up from their childhood background. A lot of them have grown up in cities where they've lived in the city life, the ghettos. A lot of them have been doing drugs since childhood. They don't know how to live a normal life. And I think that has a lot to do with it. Plus, you have a lot of them that come out, and then the police will harass them until they end up getting them back in again. So what they need to do is take these prisoners, and they need to reform the parole board first. They need to have the parole reform, prison reform, and what they need to do is open up more, establish more long-term residential treatment programs. What they do is they put people on in these programs that are not doing their job. You know, they're getting that insurance money, and they're 6 months is not a long time. A year is not a long time. When you're working with people like that, it didn't take them a day or a week or 6 months or a year to get the way they were. They need to be in for a good 5 years, 10 years, but not a life, not 25 years, not 40 years, not 1,800 years. They need to have that treatment. So what they need to do is open up long-term residential treatment programs with social workers, psychologists, psychiatrists, medical doctors, counselors, substance abuse counselors, anger management counselors. They need to have them all in the same facility, and they need to have these people do their job and really do their job with these individuals. Then you don't see them. The recidivism rate won't be like that. If it's not like that in other countries, there's no reason why it should be like that in this country. You look at Norway. Norway has the most humane prison, and they have no recidivism. I will say we've got about 3.5 more minutes, and Jahi, we're going to have to bring this back next Saturday.
Okay.
Okay, so you guys can finish up.
Okay. Well, again, I'm Shahid Omar. My number is 540-309-2473. My email address is Shahid, Shahed Omar, 69@yahoo.com. I also have another email address on Facebook, Omar Shahid 70. Omar Shahid 70. You can find me on Facebook. Omar Shahid, Omar Shahid, Shahed, 70. Find me on Facebook. I will be having a website coming up pretty soon called All Inmates Lives Matter. All Inmates Lives Matter.
Right.
So I'll be having a website coming up pretty soon. All Inmates Lives Matter. That would be the name of my 501c organization. So, Leon, I'll be ready to come back anytime you need me. Let me give me a call, and I'll be ready to come back and discuss some more stuff.
Next Saturday, 12 o'clock?
Yes, ma'am. Sounds good.
Same time?
Sounds good to me.
And is this Chinupa back on with us?
Yeah, this is Chinupa again, man. The phone got cut off. I don't know what's going on.
Chinupa, you want to give your contact information again, too?
Yes, brother, please call me. My phone number is area code 605-517-1547. Same area code and prefix, 605-517-2621. Do call me as soon as we get off the radio show, because I really want to chat with you, brother.
You got to give me I can't even write your number down. Leon, I get it from you. I get this number from you.
You can listen to your show, Shahid, and you'll have all the contacts, yours, his, and also Francis. The telephone numbers and everything will be on the radio show, so you can catch up with that after the show. Also, we're going to be having Shahid back next Saturday. We'll be talking more about it, and I'll give it more time from 12 to 1:30, and that way everybody that comes back on again.
All right. That'd be great to hear again. And Sister Leona, hey, keep Auntie Lorraine Whiteface's family in your prayer. We lost her. Today's the funeral for her, and I got to go attend that. Grandma Lorraine Whiteface has been inspirational. She's one of the grandmothers that did a lot of fights for the people in prison and elsewhere. Man, she's done a lot of good things for our people. So keep her in prayer. Today's her burial.
I will. I'll keep it. And also, like I said, we'll talk a little bit about that next week, too. But I want to thank all three of you for being on. And I'm looking forward to it next week. And like I said, we'll have more time to talk about a lot of these issues. But I really appreciate everyone being on. Shahid, let us know when your website is complete. Let us know when your website is complete.
Okay. Sure will.
And they do have the, I don't know if you're looking at the Wix, but they're pretty good with the websites, free website.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Thank you very much for being on. Thank you, Chinupa. Thank you, Francis. And we will see you or listen to you next Saturday at 12 o'clock.
All right. Thank you all. Much love to you. Ha-ho.
Okay. Peace. We're getting ready to sign off, everyone. Thank you for listening, and I hope you'll all be on next to ask questions or whatever. Thank you so much. Shahidul Nair, long-term advocate for those who are incarcerated. Shahid Omar, longtime advocate and founder for All Inmate Lives Matter, is back with us today to talk more on more on injustices in the penal system, challenges of the incarcerated. Hit on Malcolm, and it's